Praise the Lord. What a privilege. Amen. Let's all stand, if you will. Let's bow our heads before Him in prayer this evening. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so grateful. Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, for all You've done for us. Lord, in a world that's so full of turmoil, Lord, and Lord, little puny human beings, Lord, to think they know more than You. Lord, You're the champion, Lord, of love and mercy and grace. And Lord, I'm so thankful this evening, Lord, to call You my Lord and Savior. Lord, I'm so proud, Lord, to stand here and say You are my King. Lord, there's no other, Lord, that I'd want to take the battle for me, Lord, than You. You've never lost. Lord, You are my 5-star general, Lord, and I appreciate You and I love You with all my heart. Lord, we just ask You, Lord, to have Your will, Lord, this service, everything that's said and done, be for Your glory and Your honor. Lord, we'll be sure to give You all the praise and glory that's due unto You. In Your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated if you'd like. I'd like to turn our little capstone books over to page 54. Thinking this on the way over. Victory. Amen. Page 54. Hallelujah, what a thought Jesus full salvation brought. Victory, victory. Let the powers of sin assail, heaven's grace can never fail. Victory, amen. Oh, victory, oh, victory, yes, victory. Hallelujah, I am free. Jesus gives me victory. Glory, glory, hallelujah. He is all and all to me. I am trusting in the Lord. I am anchored in His word. Victory, victory. I have peace and joy within, since my heart is free from sin. Victory, victory. Oh, yes, victory. Hallelujah, I am free. Jesus gives me victory. Glory, glory, hallelujah. He is all and all to me. Shout your freedom everywhere. His eternal peace declare. Victory, amen. Oh, victory. Let us sing it here below, in the face of every foe. Victory, victory. Yes, victory. Yes, victory. Sure, when this fleeting life is o'er. Victory, oh victory. Sing it here, ye ransomed throng. Start the everlasting song. Victory, victory. Hallelujah, I am free. Jesus gives me victory. Glory, glory, hallelujah. He is Shout your freedom everywhere. Hallelujah. His eternal peace declare. Amen. You thankful for that peace? Amen. So thankful. Amen. Hallelujah. Page 22 in your only believe. Amen. Just thinking of his victory. Amen. All the battles he's won. Amen. Hallelujah. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath that cleansing blood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming love. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath that cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath that cleansing flood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He signs me to victory beneath that cleansing flood. Hallelujah. Amen. The line that sticks out to me right there. Amen. And all my love is due him. Amen. Feels like I can't do enough for him. Hallelujah. For all he's done for me. Amen. You look around you, all the people that's struggling. They ain't got peace. Oh, it's just that alone is worth it all to be his child, saints. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Think of that little chorus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Amen. Is that your desire? Hallelujah. What a blessed desire it is. Amen. Take this. Amen. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Amen. It's a little too high. I'm sorry. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, world, but give me Jesus. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Oh, take this whole, give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. As we ask our brother to come tonight, unless somebody's got a special, anybody got a special? Song that's on your heart? Amen. As we ask our brother to come, let's just sing out a little chorus. Amen. Just blank me, I'm sorry. Amen. Reach out and touch the Lord. Hallelujah. If you all will stand with us, amen.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart. This moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Amen. Oh, we're so thankful for another opportunity to gather around God's precious word. Whether we be here or tuning in from home, I pray that our little recording will be good for those that are watching and help. May they find something in God's word to strengthen them. And may the Lord just bless each one of us here. And may He just stir our hearts. May we keep pressing on. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Lord, we are so grateful for the desire that burns within our hearts, Lord, to always do what's pleasing to You. And Lord, that desire only comes from You, Lord, and how when You place that in a person's heart, Lord, how it just continues to draw them every day. And it don't matter what life throws at them or brings, Lord, there's something that's pulsating down inside of them. And Lord, we thank You for that, and we just come tonight, Lord, together around Your precious word, Lord, to gain strength, and Lord, to be edified, that Lord, we would draw closer to You, and that our lives would be pleasing to You in a greater measure. And Lord, may we these precious words just strengthen someone's heart, Lord, and may we just draw ever closer to You, and we'll never fail to give You the glory and the honor and the praise for everything. And we ask it all in the lovely, precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. While you're still standing, I'm going to If you'd like to turn with me over to the book of John in the 14th chapter, very familiar scripture this evening. Just a little text, praying that we can take something from it, maybe to encourage us. Realizing we're living in very stressful times, so to speak, for some. And, you know, we as Christians, we know the time's coming that's upon us. We see these things, and we've studied and we've read and we've been taught so much of the Word to realize that God is coming again. He's going to return for a bride. And before He comes back, there's going to be things befall this country. There's going to be almighty things take place that God has told us about in His precious Word. And those are things that we must always keep before us and fresh on our mind. We don't get caught up. It's so easy in human reasoning to look at what takes place, and every human has an opinion about what's going on around us and maybe what we feel. But nevertheless, we must always consult God's Word and make sure that no matter what's taking place around me, do I measure up in God's precious Word. We'll read this scripture and then you can be seated. John, the 14th chapter, and I'd like to start there at the 15th verse. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And down at the 26th verse, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and you may be seated. And you know, as you just can't help with all that's going on around us to see and always look at things. And we notice that if you go back in the Old Testament and you look back at the time when Israel was down in Egypt and God was fixing to bring them out, and the many things that were happening, the plagues that was upon the land, and all the things God said he would do, and he said he would bring his people out with a mighty hand, and we saw that take place. And then as the last thing was the death, his angel went through the land and killed the firstborn, and how they had to have that blood splattered over the door. And you know, I want to recall your mind back to before this happened, the last couple services we were here before we found out about all this virus and had to quit coming to service, our pastor was preaching on the token. And I want you to think about that, as long as many of you heard the messages that came for Sunday. And bear that in mind, because Jesus said he would send a comforter. And that comforter would teach us all things and guide us into all truths. And he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And that's all of them. And how that is the token on display, that the baptism of the Holy Ghost in our life and that life being manifested and vindicated back through us. And how this word has laid out all that's in there and how we must see that on display. That's the only assurance we're going to have at this last day, that I know where I stand. That's the only way I'm going to have true peace, is to know. That was the only way that night in Israel that those people had peace in their hearts, as they know they had obeyed the word of the Lord precisely to what he told him to do, and that death angel would pass. And my, how we ought to take heed in this late age in which we're in, as we can see what's happening. And we can see all that's shaken loose around us. But nevertheless, there's a people that God predestinated and sent to the earth at this time. He's always had a witness. He's always had someone that stood for him and declared he's true. Someone that lived out a testimony of what he said he would be in a people's hearts and in their lives. And tonight I'd like to turn back over here to the book of Job, if you'd like to turn with me and read very familiar little scriptures. Maybe some would look at it and say it's just a story, but I want you to listen, because Job was a real man. And it was a real circumstance that happened in his life. And these words weren't just written into this book for the ages and ages just because it was good reading material. But God had a purpose for placing this in here. And I pray each one of us can find some strength from God's precious word tonight. And we each one must weigh ourselves. Now is the time. God does not send judgment without first a warning. And you know, we can say we're in a crisis. This country's seen a great crisis, and we know for a fact the terrible things that could continue to happen from here on. We see the financial shape that it's put this country in. We see all that's taken place around us, how it's affected maybe even our own financial stableness, and how we can, maybe we don't have a job no more. Maybe I am laid off. Maybe I can't get an unemployment check. Maybe I see all these things. My stock markets have fell and my stocks are gone. I have nothing. And we see this all shaken loose around us, but we know it has to come. And where does our heart leave us standing? What's the down inside? Oh, we're wonderful at putting on a good front, maybe. And maybe we go through life showing a good face that, oh, this is okay, I know where I'm standing. But God knows our hearts, and that's what I want to talk about this evening, is God looks down in our hearts, and he knows each and every one of us. He knows what's laying at the core, and he knows where our thoughts are. But I want you to listen here as he began to speak about Job. In the first chapter of the book of Job, he said, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And I want you to think of that. What a testimony this man had. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. And his substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses. And a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all of the men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting was gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning, offered burnt offerings for them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And thus did Job continually. He was concerned about what God thought. He was concerned about what he knew to be right in his heart, and how he walked every day with that desire burning to make sure that he was fulfilling exactly what he understood and what God wanted from him. But then it goes, he says, and he's greatly blessed. He served God, and God was blessing him. He had all the mighty blessings. Life was a gravy train, so to speak, for him. But he says, but there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? And thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And I want you to, it's easy to serve God when life's easy. It's easy to serve God when all the blessings are flowing in on us. It's easy to serve God when we got money in our pocket and food on our table and shoes on our feet and all life's just so grand for us, so to speak. We got nice clothes to wear, and it just looks so grand. Maybe it's easy to serve God. And that's what Satan thought. Let me show you. You just give him to me for a little bit, and I'll show you. He'll curse you to your face. But God said, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. And Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when the sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. And yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, the Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking in their house, eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped to tell thee. And then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground. And I want you to pay attention. Did he complain? Did he moan? No, he worshiped God. He fell down in the midst of all of that was going on around him, and he worshiped the Lord that created him. I want you to think of that. As he, all of this taking place, there wasn't no complaint. There wasn't a bitterness, oh my, just trying to put the human reasoning to what's going on. But he fell down and worshiped the Lord. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And what a testimony and what an example this should be. We face many circumstances in life. And right now, we see this virus that's running rampant, and people are scared and the fear in their heart that they're going to get this and they're going to get that. That's just a virus. What about all that's else that's going to come upon this land? Where, if a virus can put fear into our hearts so great that we get so scared and we can't sleep and we worry so great about this little thing that's come, when the real pressure comes upon this old world, where will we stand then? Where's that desire going to be? Where's my life going to be? It's all easy right now. I still got food on my table. I still got everything around me. Maybe none of my loved ones have been touched by this virus. Nobody's been taken. It all seems to be good. But oh my, let's listen here. Joseph goes and continues on. And again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves in the second chapter before the Lord. And Satan came in among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, and is a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God, and escheweth evil, and holds fast his integrity? And although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause? And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him up potsherd and to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. And then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest one of a foolish woman speaketh. Shall we receive good all at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this Job did not sin with his lips. So I want you to look at that example that was left for us. Job lost all he had. God was allowing this situation to happen for a test for Job. He let it to prove out that Job's testimony was more than just lip worship. It was a life lived before God, and it went forth and stood forth as a testimony. And how, in all that Job did, he never complained. He never blamed. He could have played the blame over here on this person or pushed the blame over on that person. This is why this is happening. That's why this is happening. But not one time there do you read that that's what happened. And if we would turn over here just to read a few examples here to set a little foundation real quick. In Daniel, the third chapter. Amen. Very familiar little things to rehearse, but nevertheless, I think it can catch our attention. In Daniel 3 here. Amen. Daniel, the third chapter. And we'll start there at the, I think I've got it written down here, the third chapter in the first verse. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits. And Nebuchadnezzar sent king together princes and all the governors and the captains and all the judges and the treasurers and counselors and sheriffs and all the rulers of providence to come to the dedication of this image. And then the princes and the governors and the captains, they all came. And we know the story that we know what God had said. They should not bow down to any graven image. They shouldn't have any idol before him. And that was burning in their hearts, what God, the commandments that God had given them. Was fresh on their heart. And the decree, we'll drop down to the 8th verse to save a little time. And he says, wherefore, At the time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews, and spake and said, King Nebuchadnezzar, long live forever, thou king, has made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, and the harp, and the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, then be brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? And now if ye be ready, at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, and harp, and the sackbut, and the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. If ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king. And I want you to think about this. This was their very life. They were standing there knowing they were getting ready to lose their life if they didn't bow down. They were going into a fiery furnace. They didn't know at this point God would deliver them. They were standing there facing a circumstance. And all they had was the word of God that told them, Keep my commandments and bow not down to that image. And he said, And Shadrach answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his was changed against him. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into that burning fiery furnace. And then these men were bound, their coats and their hosen and their hats and other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of that burning fiery furnace. And then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of that fire? And then he answered and said unto the king, True, O king. And he answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose and walking in the midst of that fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of that fourth man is like the Son of God. And God was on the scene just like that. But they didn't know. But they were holding true to what God had placed in their heart. They were holding true to a desire that was burning inside of them. Not a law that was something that had them bound. Oh, I've got to do this or I'm going to be lost. But they had a desire in their heart to keep all that they knew the commandments said to keep. And that desire was what was holding them, even in the midst of the circumstance that looked so much greater than they were. They never faltered. They didn't know that for sure how God was going to work it out. They didn't know, but they didn't worry one bit. They followed God's word. And I want you to notice that. Job and all that he suffered, these men and all that they suffered, and time to go on and tell all that's happened back here in the Old Testament and to see what God did for these and the desire that pulsated in their heart and how they held firm to what God had placed on them. You didn't see them fear with fear crying, Oh, don't burn me, I don't want to die. You didn't see that in their heart and in their life because they had a vision of what God had led them to and where he had placed them. And let's turn over here to Acts, the 16th chapter. We'll go ahead and find someone here in the New Testament real quick. For an example, amen. But I think of this as we face life and we see all this taking place around us and how fear can drive a person to do many things. Fear will take over your mind, and we realize we're in the greatest battle ever fought. And where's it at? Right in our own mind, where Satan is trying to get us to reason against the Word of God. He's trying to take over control of your being. And if he can get your mind into turmoil of fear, your tongue will wag and say things you wish you'd have never said. and you cause your life to be in solid turmoil all the time. But it's why you must have, as our brother was speaking Sunday, that control tower down on the inside that will bring this whole being subject to God's word. It'll hold you steady, just like an anchor to a ship that's being tossed in the middle of a great storm. It'll hold you there. The waves will still beat and bash off of you, but it'll hold you steady, rock steady to God's word. But here in the 16th chapter, we find another situation. Paul and Silas here, we'll start about the 16th verse. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel. I want you to notice here how Paul and Silas was walking in the will of the Lord, doing exactly what God had sent them out to do, doing exactly, marching right in tune with what God was wanting. And he says, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us and brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gainsaying was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the inner prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And oh my, each and every one of us know how their bodies must have felt. We know how beaten and how sore and how that was not pleasant, and how it must have really just tore at their flesh, and then lay down there in that old prison with nothing to soothe it on probably an old rock floor. But at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I want you to look at the desire that was down on the inside of them. In the midst of all that was happening around them, where was their first love? Where was their thoughts, and where was their mind centered to Jesus Christ and his will? And I won't continue on down. We realize the situation and how the jailer became saved through that situation. But God allowed that situation to happen for a test and for a stand out there, to push out there for him to be tried. And as we face life, things happen all around us. And you know, this virus, many people have lost loved ones. And you know, we know it's very contagious. And we do all we can with common sense to follow the guidelines that the doctors have told us. You should wash your hands and you should use hand sanitizer. We do all of these things and wear a mask, whatever it takes, to try to slow that spread. But what if God would allow that disease to come upon someone you know very closely and take that person's life? Who are you going to blame? What's your mouth going to say? Where's that going to go through, knowing that if that person was saved and was in the thoughts of God before this world was ever formed, God numbered the hairs of their head, and he knew the day they was come upon this earth, and he knew the day they was going to leave this earth. And it proved it by Job that nobody is going to take you from this earth till God says you can leave, till he is finished with you. And how that should bring such a consolation in my heart. If I find myself in that place knowing, keep my commandments, and I will be with you. And the Comforter whom I will send, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. And my peace I will leave with you. I will give it to you. It'll hold you through the terrible storms. It'll give you that song in the night. It'll give you that joy though the bank account's broke. It'll give you that joy though the businesses have fell apart. It'll give you that and hold you steady to what God has sent for us. But you know, in Matthew, I had it wrote down and I forgot to write it on this paper. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Amen. I transferred my notes. I didn't bring it across. Amen. Yes, Matthew, the 10th chapter. Listen here for just a moment. And maybe you can see why Paul and Silas could sing at midnight. As Jesus spoke here in the 10th chapter, in the 28th verse. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. And to know that that one that I know he lives, as we sang the song there at Easter, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because I know who holds the future. Because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know he knows what's going to happen tomorrow. I know he knows what trials are going to come upon this earth tomorrow that are going to affect me, that are going to affect you. And I don't have to know what the outcome of that's going to be. I don't know what the outcome of this all happening to us right now is going to be. But I know one thing. Jesus Christ said, to honor me, keep my commandments, do what I've told you, apply that token to your life and hold it there before him. And he told us in Corinthians, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, I've already got one waiting on me over there. God's word is all there, and we've heard every bit of it. And if we don't know it, then we need to get in there and dig and hunt and find it. But God has placed us here with a fortified word of God to keep us in these times. And the times as it gets rougher and as we move on and we see more hardships and more things come by. It doesn't have to be a life of fear and of dread, and we let these things take us over so much till they consume us, and that's all we can think about, and we forget that we serve a living God. We forget that we serve a God that's parted the Red Sea. We forget that we serve a God that can heal cancer and do all these things. And this is that age that we live in. Hey, man, sickness has come upon us. We're going to have that, and things happen for, we don't know why things happen the way they do. But God has all things. But I want to read you something our prophet said here back in 1960 on April the 17th. Funny timing. Amen. But I want you to listen. As he says here, he says, it's these crucial hours that press on us those sacred sands. It was in the Bible, and remember, no matter how great the distress is, Satan cannot take your life until God is finished with you. There is nothing can happen to you unless God permits. And there is no evil can come unless God permits it. And it's for your good. He's working that. Let's think. There when the floods came to destroy the world, it could not destroy Noah. Noah could not be destroyed because that God had a work for him to do. And one day, down in the great nation under great bondage, there were some Hebrew children that we know of, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We just read the scripture. And it came to a place where they had to make a decision that something had to be done. And their faith was put to a test. And when your faith is put to a test, then don't fail. Stay right with what you believe. And when their faith was put to a test, they went to a crucial hour. Not only did they go to an ash heap, but they went into a fiery furnace. And Satan could not destroy them, for God's purpose wasn't yet fulfilled. They could go in there with this hope, I know my Redeemer liveth. They go in there with this hope, we're assured that God is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. But nevertheless, we will not bow to that image. Satan could not take them. He could not drown Noah in the flood for the purpose God had been finished. And he could not burn up the Hebrew children until the purpose of God had been finished. And he could not kill Job with boils and troubles until the purpose of God had been finished. And neither could the lions eat Daniel until God's purpose had been finished. Neither could death and old age take Abraham until the purpose of God had been finished. I think through all of this, we can see the purpose of God's going to be finished. He's going to make it happen. I want you to pay attention to that. And if you can find yourself in that number that you know God placed you here, he's called you and placed a desire down in your heart, you're not leaving here till God says it's time that you can go. And that may happen. It may happen tomorrow. We look at our prophet. Our prophet was here, and we thought, oh my, he'll be here forever. In 1965, a car wreck, and there a prophet was taken off the scene. Did that make God any less than he was? No. He had finished his work that God had sent him here to do, and God called him home. Come on up here a little bit higher. And that day's coming for all of us, saints. It ain't going to be long. And this old pest house down here is going to be something that ain't even going to be a memory anymore. And that's what we're here for. That's our goal. That's why we gather here and listen to God's word. That's why we give our undivided attention to him, to serve him. Not out of fear, not out of I'm going to be lost. And I'm going to go to hell, but because he placed a love in my heart to serve him. in this age. He predestinated me for this. And if there's anyone listening that you feel that tug down in your heart, he's predestinated you. That tug just doesn't come alone, because no man can come to me unless the Father which sent me draw him. And he said he would raise him up in the last day. And oh my, may we have that confidence burning in our hearts. And he said here, he goes on, he says, and the purpose of God had been finished. And neither can it take you or take me until the purpose of God of our life is finished. And so we gather from there consolation. Why does God let troubles come? God harnesses trouble, puts bits in its mouth, and makes it obey him. And those troubles bring us in closer fellowship with God. It's good to know the one who's got the troubles in his hands. Amen. And they had been no rainbow until the flood came. But after Noah was pressed into that condition that he was in, to float 40 days and nights in a storm, that little ark pitching up and down in the water, it was after the flood was over that he saw the rainbow for the first time. And the covenant of hope, the covenant of promise. And he went through the tribulation and then he saw the promise. And that's the way you see the promise. After you've gone through the tribulation, I've liked it to the poem of Psalm, must I be carried home to heaven on a flowery bed of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas. And we ask for comfort and peace, and God gives us the best he could give us, trials and tribulations. That's better than comfort and peace. Our comfort is just beyond the river. It wasn't until the Hebrew children was forced into that fiery furnace on one of their most outstanding trials that they seen one like the Son of God standing among them. Their troubles produced the Son of God standing among them in the breezes to wave away the heat and the wave. But not until they went into that fire did the Comforter appear. It was Daniel who had purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the things of the world and was forced through a trial, whether he would pray to God to go to the lion's den. But it was after the heat was put on, he was thrown into a lion's den, that after that he saw an angel of the Lord standing in the midst of him, keeping away the great pillar of fire standing between him and the lions. And the lions could not get to him because he had went through the trials and temptations and troubles, and he knew that his God was able to deliver him from that. And in Psalms 34, 7 to 9, a very small little scripture, amen, to put in your hearts, 34th chapter. I'm sorry, amen. What man is like Job? Amen. I'm in the wrong chapter. That's why it didn't look right. Amen. Let me get over here into Psalms. Amen. Psalms 34. Amen. Read this 7th verse. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about him that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want with him that fear him. And I want you to think of that. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him. And how that we ought to fear the Lord more than we fear anything else. And how we should hold that dear in our hearts and hold that precious word to our life. And as we face these dark troubles and we face these times of uncertainty and we see all that's taking place around us, could it steal my joy of serving God? Can it make me so afraid that together with in the presence of the Holy Spirit and afraid that my God's not big enough to guard against the diseases of this land? Yes, we realize and we see even at this time our governors and things have put on stipulations of keeping our congregations to a minimum. And they've showed us, as I said, the social distancing and how we can do all of these things. But is our confidence that I'm going to do all that the doctor has told me and I'm going to be okay? I'm going to do all that the doctor has said and I'm not going to have to worry about any of this. But I trust someone much larger than a doctor. My trust is in Jesus Christ. And that's where our trust and hope has to be. And we must realize that we do all that we can, and especially you older ones during this time, and anyone, if you feel that concern, how you should stay in and stay away from things, but don't let fear consume you to the point that you forget that God in heaven is holding you in the palm of his hand, and he's in charge of all that's happening around us, because this is nothing. And if this can drive us totally to a point of exhaustion, of not having peace and being tore up in turmoil and just worried about tomorrow, what's going to happen? What's it going to be when it's really happening? All that we know is going to come. And how we should let this precious word be our fortress. And if it's not burning in my heart with a deep consolation that I know that he holds tomorrow, and I know that I'm in his hand, and I know my life is being backed up in this precious word, then now is the time, while there's still time, to get your life squared away with God and to make sure that this is coming full circle in your life, that you're matching the scriptures, that I'm matching the scriptures. Each one of us, each of us have to search the scriptures diligently and seek and find and make sure, seek out our own salvation with fear and trembling, to make sure we're walking exactly the way God wants us to walk. Amen. Here in 2 Timothy, let me see here, had scripture wrote down. Amen. I pray that we must, as we go through life, in all these circumstances, we must not be foolish. We must always make sure that we're seeking God's will. You know, I think back when Paul, you know, he didn't go around hunting for a snake to pick up and let it bite him. But when it bit him, he shook it off into the fire and went on. And God watched over Paul. Look at all that Paul went through. Shipwreck, snake bite, food poisoning. They beat him with stones and all they tried to do to him. They tried to take his life many times. But they couldn't take him till God said, you can walk up at that chopping block and they'll chop your head off. It's time. Your work is finished. Amen. And that's what we must. We have a work to finish. That little bride is here to prove to this nation and to this people that Jesus Christ is alive and living today in a people's hearts and minds. And taking over their entire being for his glory. Amen. 2 Timothy. I'll get over here in a minute. Amen. Second Timothy. And see if I can find it here. This is in 2 Timothy, first chapter in the 6th verse. We'll start. Sister Karen, you can come to the instruments if you would. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before this world began. He sent me here, saints. He's going to see me through. And you know, we must always be mindful, and don't take any of this that if you didn't get to come to service or if you can't come right now, that Brother Tim's condemning you. That's not it. God looks at our hearts. And each of us have different circumstances. And that's the opinion men have. Sometimes men look at us, humans look at a situation and they pass judgment on an opinion. But God looks down in our hearts and he knows what we feel. He knows how at night, how much we think about this taking over, how much I'm losing my money, I'm losing this, I'm losing that. And he also knows how much we lay in our bed and say, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Thank you, Lord, you'll make this trial a blessing, whatever it is. And Lord, I know I serve you, and I know you've got me in your hand. And I can't change anything. I can't change my one thing about me. But God knows us inside and out, and he knows how much this is affecting us, what we're seeing now. But it's a preparation time. That token has to be on display. As our brother was ministering before, and as he started Sunday, that is what it's got to take. We've each one got to have that assurance in our heart. It's not because I come to this church. It's not because I go to church where our pastor's Brother DeLong. That has nothing to do with it. But it's got to be that Jesus Christ is living on the seat of your heart. And you've given your life to him. Repent and be baptized. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And how then we'll see our lives begin to change. Our mind will come subject to that precious word. It'll keep that peace there. It'll keep all of our lives and bring it to him. It'll keep our mouth shut. It keeps our tongue from wagging, saying things that we shouldn't. It'll cause that love for everyone, for your fellow man, for your neighbor. Whatever you can do, God will be on the scene, and that mellowness, that sweetness will just ooze out to others. But only he's the one that can do it. But oh my, we're ready to leave this old world. And we see this happening, and how it ought to cause a joy in our hearts when we can see the signs of the time. And we know it ain't going to be long. We're going to leave this old world. And oh, how that ought to be on our hearts more and more each day. You know, and how sad it would be as you think about things like this. You know, I have parents, and they're here, sitting here, and older. And you don't want to lose any. I don't want them to leave. I want them to be here as long as I'm here. You know, that's not human nature. I want my children to be here. But what if tomorrow God took one of my children? Or what if he takes my parents? Is my desire still going to be strong in my heart that I'll serve the Lord and stay with him? Or would that fear well up in there, that bitterness, and it's God's fault. This has happened. God has given us a chance now to begin to see who we truly are. Circumstances of life show exactly where who we are to ourselves, not to everyone else. But God's given each one of us a different test in a different time, a different way. And it shows where our strengths lie, and it shows where God's at, or how much he's holding us, or how much he isn't. But he's still there to be reached if you wish to reach him. And how we each one ought to cry out, Lord, let me climb one step higher every day. I may be served you for many, many years, Lord, but there's still higher heights for me, because if I'm still here, Lord, you're not finished with me. I might be 110, it doesn't matter. Lord, you've still got to work for me. And then when you're done with me, you'll let me go home. But oh, may we serve him with all of our hearts and give him all we've got. Just a few simple words, I pray it'll strengthen our hearts in some way. But oh my, just remember, he's still in control. He's not lost control of anything. But I serve a living God, and I'm grateful. Amen. You know, times are really rough, and I'd like to remember a little girl in prayer. She's in her 20s, but she has had this virus for 17 days, and she's really going through a rough time. And she's at home, and I got her address and stuff. I was going to send her a card and some cheering up thoughts, but you know, that could be you or I, and right now it's not. But when we get into that situation, should it be us? Is my testimony still just as strong? I'm healthy tonight, and I'm standing here, and I don't have any aches and pains, and I don't have any of this flooding in around me. But this is what I pray. Lord, make this that much more real in my heart. The Lord, whatever befalls me, I will be that rock that'll stand there and be a testimony for you, as Paul and Silas was, as John when they boiled him in oil. All these different ones that faced many circumstances in their life that God allowed to happen for his glory. May we stand strong and be that one. Amen. Let's all stand, if you would. Pray something could be said that'll help someone. Stir our hearts. Press on a little greater. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that little chorus. I think I got it here in the book. Text Brother Asamba, and just out checking on him and his wife, and he said, "We're good, brother. We're under the blood." And I thought, amen, what a testimony to know that God's watching over you. Amen. Hallelujah. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Oh, singing glory to his name. Glory to his name. Down to my heart was the blood. Glory to his name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name. Oh, precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad. fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge into day and be made complete. Glory to his name. Amen. Sing it one more time. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Amen. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm so glad. Oh, my. For what he's doing for us. Amen. I just can't wait till we can get everybody back together one more time in this little building. Amen. But you know, we don't know what tomorrow holds for any of us. But you know, I know one thing. One of these days, we're going to meet over there on the streets of glory. And oh, we ain't going to have to worry about our voices being weak and these old bodies holding us down. But oh, I believe you'll be able to hear some glory. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. Hallelujah. Let's just bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, that we just ask that you can take your precious word and may it help someone. Lord, as men, sometimes we feel so inadequate. And Lord, just we don't know how to do it. But you know all things. And Lord, you know exactly what to deliver, when and where. And Lord, we're just thankful for all that you do for us. And Lord, we just want to remember in prayer tonight anyone that would have a special unspoken request. Lord, you know each and every heart, and whether we're sitting at home listening, Lord, or standing here, you know the needs that we have also, Lord, and we ask that you would meet them. And Lord, that young lady that I was speaking of with the virus, Lord, we just ask that you could touch her some way and make it a little easier for her, Lord, as a human to another human, Lord, I can sympathize with her. And Lord, and if there's some way through it, you can touch your soul, Lord, and what a wonderful thing that would be. But Lord, we all just leave it in your hands. You know all things. And Lord, even us as we stand here, you know every circumstance we're facing. You know what we're going to face tomorrow. And Lord, we just ask that you would pull us and draw us into your care. And Lord, if maybe my desire for you is just not quite as strong as it should be, make it that much greater. And Lord, dip it into us till we could burn white hot and be consumed for you. And Lord, anyone that would be listening to this, Lord, by way of recording, Lord, if there's something tugging at their heartstrings, Lord, and they can feel that drawing taking place in their life, Lord, and they can see all that's happening and know that there's more to life than just what this human world can offer, then Lord, I pray you'll touch them and make it a greater pull and a greater draw. For Lord, we're fixing to leave this world. We're fixing to take that last journey. And Lord, we ask that you take the precious word that we hear tonight and any chance you give us together and to listen, to fortify us, Lord, that we'll be a people that can stand and be that testimony. Lord, that you can be proud of what you've done through our lives. Lord, not that we would have any glory, but Lord, it's all what you have done for us and are doing in us. And we're thankful for that, Lord. And we just ask it all to your glory and honor. And keep us safe up in our travels home, we ask. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we ask all these things. Amen. Amen. Sing it as you leave. Oh, glory to him.